Hello and welcome to the Low Tox Life podcast. I'm Alex Stewart, your host, and today is show 15. And I'm chatting to a wonderful guy who I met on the internet. I know that sounds wrong, Mum, but it's true. I read an article about him. I just knew I had to talk to him. And this is Phil White, who's the founder of a brilliant business called Fungimental. I'm actually not sure how to pronounce that. So when I read about Philip's work, I thought, wow, this is such an amazing, established, sustainable business, collecting coffee grounds and recycling them and then mushroom farming out of them and then selling those mushrooms as produce. And, you know, what a wonderful way to produce, but also to rescue and keep organic materials moving through a circle of life, if you will, rather than going to landfill, as so many coffee grounds unfortunately do in this world. And he had a contract with Virgin, and I thought, wow, this guy must have been going for years. So I sought him out and we teed up an interview, and we get chatting in the preliminary chat to make sure that I bring the best out of him in the questions. You know, I really want to make sure these shows bring you some wonderful insights into how these people create the businesses they do when I bring a sustainably oriented business onto the show, because it's really just so wonderful and beautiful. And if more of us can be inspired to realize that any business we create or any business that we have can transition, of course, into being a sustainable social impact model, then hello, awesome change can be created in this world once we all start thinking that way. And certainly, if you're not going to start a business as a consumer, once we all start thinking that way, of course, with the things that we purchase. So we were chatting, and turns out he actually only started the business very early this year. So what this guy has achieved in under a year, getting this business off the ground, is mind-boggling. And he has already won a very significant award for his sustainable business. And he has trained with thought leaders. He has surrounded himself with mentors, and he has really decided to build the kind of business that he, upon reflecting about what type of business he would create, the kind of business that he would be really proud to use the skills that he had fostered through his life and through his education moving forward. And one of the beautiful things about his workforce, for example, is ensuring that disadvantaged members of the community can have a chance at working and being trained up as mushroom farmers. So there's just so much goodness to be had out of this short chat that I'm bringing you today with the lovely Phil White, UK born and a borrowed Aussie these days, but now excitedly spending a lot of time in the UK developing an arm of the business over there and doing incredible things like rescuing coffee at Heathrow Airport. So I will let our chat speak for itself. I hope you enjoyed as much as I enjoyed having it. I'll see you after the show. Hello, Phil White. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you, Alex?
I'm really well, thank you. And thank you so much for joining us. I'm very inspired by your business. And as you heard in my intro, guys, this is the founder of Fungimental that we're talking to today. And there is so much juicy stuff we're going to cover that ticks all the low tox buttons in terms of building a business that's not just about the financials, but about the social and environmental impacts as well. So many inspiring businesses that we've already interviewed on the show that tick all those boxes. And it's wonderful to add you to our beautiful list.
Thanks very much. It's great to be a part of it.
Yeah. Now, for those who have never heard of Fungimental out there, never heard of this bloke, Phil White, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself, how you came to be doing the work you do today?
Yeah, no problem. So I obviously originally from the UK, and I moved to Australia about 6 years ago. And for a lot of my career, I was doing what a lot of people do, kind of chasing the money and, you know, flying around the country and working in various mine sites. I used to work for BHP. And it was during my time in the Pilbara that I kind of had a lot of time to think as a fly-in, fly-out worker in the Donga, in the middle of the Pilbara. And I decided to start actively seeking out what I was passionate about and what kind of impact I wanted to have on the planet. And I just started researching, watching lots of TED Talks on sustainable ideas and different innovations. And I came across a guy called Gunter Pauli, who has something called the Blue Economy, which was around creating 100 case studies for sustainable businesses that could create 100 million jobs globally in 10 years. And one of those case studies was actually creating high-value, high-percentage protein food products from waste streams. And one of those waste streams is obviously mushrooms from coffee. So that's sort of stuck in my head, and that was about 2.5 years ago. And then since then, I've sort of been building on that idea and thinking how I can make that idea profitable in an environmental sense, a social sense, and a financial sense, I guess.
Yeah, amazing. And, you know, it really is, any business that starts today should really be thinking, how can I do this for people and planet in mind and yet create a financially sustainable business? So, you know, was it the fact that you were on a mine site that kind of made you want to do a 180 on that? Because that's obviously that literally at the coalface of one of the biggest issues today. Explain to me sort of how the light switched on. Why sustainability when you were a fly-in, fly-out mine worker?
Well, I've always had a passion for geography and the living planet and the planetary systems that operate. And you know, you hear more and more doom and gloom stories, and you know, I just got thinking, you know, surely I can apply my skills in a way that can actually have a positive impact on the planet. And yeah, you're right. You know, when you're on a mine site and you're seeing, I mean, I was on iron ore, so we weren't particularly, you know, mining coal or anything, but it certainly is on a large scale industrial machine. And although, while you know, it might not be the most polluting industry, it does certainly, you know, take you back when you see this big hole in the ground and you see all this iron ore getting shipped on these huge ships to China. And it was a bit of a come to Jesus moment for me when I saw all that happening, and I just thought I could better use my skills to have a more positive impact and, you know, help me sleep at night a bit better and be a bit happier.
Yeah, nice. And so when you started looking into coffee and specifically growing mushrooms from coffee, now you say that's nothing new, but to a lot of people out there, that's quite excitingly new information. Mm. Can you explain to us how growing mushrooms out of coffee actually works? And this is spent coffee grounds, so we're rescuing this from landfill, right?
Correct, yes, yeah. Spent coffee grounds. So coffee is the second most traded commodity in the world behind oil. And it's probably one of the most wasteful, if not the wasteful, commodities, because only 2% of the actual plant is the bean. Mm-hmm. And then less than 1% of the bean ends up in your cup. So it's hugely wasteful and hugely resource intensive. And it's, you know, it's a luxury that we all love. But we need to start thinking about what that means to the environment. So the work that I do is basically just capturing that small amount of the 2% of the plant that makes it to Australia and makes it to our cafes. And it was first discovered that you could grow mushrooms on coffee in Serbia, of all places, with a wonderful lady called Ivanka, and she's been doing it for around 30 years.
Wow.
And it was her case study that was actually used by Gunter Pauli in the speech that he did that I saw. So I then got on a plane to Serbia in February this year, and I spent 2 weeks on a sustainable mushroom farm with Ivanka. I went straight to the horse's mouth, as it were. And she's an inspiring lady. She's won lots of innovation and entrepreneur awards in Serbia, and she's just things really magnificently. So, and I constantly work with her and bounce ideas off her with the business about how we can take it forward. So that's kind of how coffee works. And coffee works because the type of mushrooms we grow in the wild, they'd grow on hardwood. And essentially all a coffee bean is a form of hardwood. It's full of cellulose, very low in sugar, so the mushrooms can thrive on that sort of substrate.
Amazing. And what was your first kind of moment where you thought, wow, this could actually work? I could actually build a pretty big business in this. Was there a meeting that you had where someone believed in the idea and thought, let's go with this? Can you share?
Well, the thing was, so I'd seen a few other people doing it around the world, and there's a couple of companies in the UK, and what they have really beautiful community-driven businesses where they can run a bicycle and they drive around their local cafes in the local area of a city. And then they grow a very small amount of mushrooms in the city as well. And that's kind of a great story, and it's a great example of what can be done. But I thought, well, no, how can we ramp this up, and how can we maximize the benefits by making it commercial scale? Mm. So I thought, got to thinking, who are the super coffee consumers of the world? And then I was thinking airports, casinos, airlines, and, you know, the big corporates, Westfield, shopping centres. So I started calling around these guys and asking them what they're doing with their coffee grinds. And obviously the answer was mainly nothing. You know, we just put them in the bin and discard them, which costs them a lot of money because this coffee's full of water. Mm. So they're essentially paying to throw water away because they pay per kilo. So then we started getting a lot of interest in this idea and really a lot of people coming on board and a bit of excitement behind it. And this is before I'd obviously left my job. And then it took probably about 3 to 6 months planning after having conversations with the likes of Qantas and Virgin Australia and the Star Casino, where I really thought I could have a viable business model here.
How brilliant. And so you obviously got a big contract with Virgin Australia. Is that the biggest one you've had so far?
Virgin and Qantas will be, yeah, they'll be the biggest. And also the casino down at the Star have indicated that they would like all their restaurants to serve our mushrooms.
How brilliant. Ah, so you're then able to sell the mushrooms as another part of the sort of service product kind of model that you've built, right?
Exactly. It's all about efficiency. So we can drop off mushrooms, pick up coffee in the one trip. So it's about efficiencies. And that's the model we're also going to try and implement wherever we go and really try and work closely with those partners.
Amazing. And it's funny you say, you know, we drop off the mushrooms and we pick up the next batch of bent coffee grounds, because it makes me think of the idea in hospitality, which I spent many years in, how you never waste a journey. If you're dropping something off, you're picking something up. And, you know, it's just basic common sense in terms of efficiency. Why are we not moving that across into business efficiency to minimize waste, to minimize fuel? I mean, you minimize so many things, the cost of doing business as well.
That's it. I mean, never drive an empty van. That's what, you know, you should always aim to do that, and that's what we try and aim to do at Fungimental.
Nice. Now, when it came to you deciding, well, obviously you needed employees at a certain point in time, and this is all so brand new, so you've grown significantly in your first year, haven't you?
We have, yeah. I mean, we've got lots of interest on board, and we've, you know, had a bit of media coverage, and so we started with sort of a skeleton crew of one, which was me, and then a production manager came on board who's really passionate about mushrooms and drove that forward. Mm-hmm. And there's a chef that is involved with this as well, working on various other projects that we've got going on. And then, but in the main, we're really trying to focus on working with disadvantaged groups as well as interns from universities and things like that. And there's also lots of interest from volunteers in the community. So we want to put a bit of an educational element to that work experience that people get as well.
Beautiful. And you've already, I mean, what I love is you've really thought about how this is going to play out. So you're starting as you wish to continue. Can you talk to us a little bit about the social impact you want to make and the kinds of organizations you're already partnering with in terms of the charitable sense?
Yeah, sure. I mean, in Australia, we're working with a couple of organizations, one of them being the Glenella Foundation. So we're looking at bringing some young Indigenous kids on board from tribal backgrounds, traditionally maybe hard to employ, but we'd like to, you know, take them on board and give them the opportunity to give them work experience and pathways to employment, and obviously formal structured education in the form of mushroom training and how to cultivate and grow mushrooms. Also, we'd love to equip them with entrepreneurial skills so they could go home to their mum's house and take a single car garage and turn that into a small mushroom farm using coffee from their local area, which they could then sell at their local farmers markets for a profit. So that essentially would be their job and they could employ themselves doing that. Other things we're looking at doing is we're securing a rooftop in this middle of the CBD in Sydney. Mm-hmm. And that we will actually build a large food garden on that rooftop, which will be fed by our waste. That garden will be maintained and upkept by homeless people, mainly from organizations like the Wayside Chapel in Potts Point. And then obviously all the food that's grown on there will go to those organizations for free.
Beautiful. Oh, so good. Just so good. And in terms of making it financially viable, I mean, obviously for us to do good, we have to be good at what we do to then continue to be able to grow it and then fund more and more partnerships and projects and get more employees from those disadvantaged communities you speak about. How does that work? Is it the selling of the mushrooms that becomes your principal revenue stream, or is it that you charge to have the coffee ground waste removed, or is it both?
It's actually the primary source is the selling of the mushrooms, but we also have mushroom kits. So what we're trying to do to maximise coffee diverted from landfill, there's only so much we can do as a business.
Yeah.
So our plan is actually we've made these mushroom kits that require 5 kilos of coffee every month, and you can buy one on our website.
Oh, fabulous. And we'll pop that on the show notes.
You can take this kit home and basically go to your local coffee shop, and they'll be glad to give you their coffee grounds because, you know, the cost them to throw them away.
Mm-hmm.
And basically you can take your kit and every month you've had 5 kilos of coffee, and every month you'll harvest between 800 grams and a kilo of mushrooms a month. And it's very educational, great for kids. All the instructions are in there with a beautiful recipe card as well and a troubleshooting guide. And yeah, it's just a fun way, and you can have your own mushroom farm at home.
I love it. And, you know, in this day and age where people are trying to diversify their proteins a little bit more, spend less, you know, abandon factory farmed meat altogether and trade up to sustainable meat sources, you know, regenerative farms that sequester carbon more than they produce and all those good things, that obviously costs a lot more. So if you can start diversifying your protein and getting some homegrown mushrooms in the mix, I mean, that's brilliant for...
And these mushrooms are 33% protein, so they're absolute superstars when it comes to a great alternative to meat.
Fantastic. That's meat-free Mondays organised then. so now you have just been in London. Something very exciting has happened there in terms of the development of your brilliant idea. Can you talk to us about the chats you've had at Heathrow?
Yeah, so we just won an innovation award in the UK. It's called the RBS Innovation Gateway. It's run by the Bank of Scotland, but it's got a number of partners, Heathrow being one of them. And Heathrow heard about our idea and basically got in touch, and we were successful in the first round of the Innovation Gateway. So we're just in negotiations at the moment to have a farm potentially funded by Heathrow and Exeter Terminal 5 on a piece of land that they currently own. It's currently been used by a charity, so we're going to partner with the charity. The charity is called Green Corridor, and they work with physically and mentally disabled people and teach them how to do home agriculture, grow beautiful fruits and vegetables. And then what we can do is we can go in there and add a commercial mushroom farm to that educational process,
mm-hmm.
as well as a financial base for the charity with a profit share just to help them pay the bills.
Amazing. And how much coffee are these airlines wasting? And why was it airlines that you went for? Was it just some sort of, you know, you had a hunch that there'd be a heck of a lot of coffee coming off those planes, or?
Well, just to give you an idea, in Sydney, we collect from Virgin Australia and from Qantas, and we're only collecting at the minute from their airline lounges. So that's the Qantas Club, Virgin Australia Lounge, as well as Business Class Lounge and Chairman's Lounge. And just mm-hmm. from those two sources, we're getting around 800 kilos of coffee a week.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
But Heathrow Airport is a different beast. So
I bet.
Heathrow Airport consumes around 35,000 cups of coffee a day. So based on 7 grams of coffee a cup, that's around 2,500 kilos of coffee waste every day from Heathrow.
Goodness. And that's all their lounges in Terminal 5.
That's across the whole of the Heathrow site, all the concessions, all the lounges. That's every single piece of coffee that gets delivered and used on site on Heathrow.
Wow.
That's from Heathrow's own numbers. So yeah, that's, and I haven't seen Sydney's numbers. That's just the numbers that I've known from Sydney. That's all.
Yeah, incredible. The opportunity, the potential of what can be saved. Do you know a global figure approximately of how much coffee the world is?
It would be trillions of cups. I wouldn't have to quote you on it, but it's the world's second most traded commodity. It's absolutely vast. And the amount of waste that's out there is crazy. And part of the Innovation Gateway, actually, one of the partners is Lancaster University. And obviously, we need to create a number of deliverables for mm-hmm. the trial of the farm, which we need to obviously meet and prove the model that it works. So Lancaster University will be producing a full report on what we're doing, which will be independently verified. And that will then enable us to go to JFK, LAX and say, look, guys, this works. It's a no-brainer. It provides locally grown food, social benefits, and it creates jobs in the local area. So hopefully, if we can prove the Heathrow model, we can have mushroom farms at every airport in the world.
Ah, that's your big goal?
One of them, yes.
Yeah? So what else have you got on the cards for the future?
So yeah, so with the mushroom business, that's definitely something that I'd love to see. That, and I'd love to see, and I'd love to prove the rooftop model as well, like we're trying to do in Sydney, just so we can break down the barriers to accessing all the wonderful roof space around the world that we could be utilizing for food production.
Amazing. Just so good. We need more of you, Philip. We need like little clones. Have you, how do you hope to, I mean, obviously there's you at the helm, you're the founder. Do you then get strategic partners or appoint country managers to sort of work on the local businesses in London and then in the future at JFK and LAX? How's that going to work?
Yeah, I'll look after the strategy for the whole business. Mm-hmm. And then I will employ farm managers at each farm, someone who's experienced at running a mushroom farm,
yeah,
and someone who can, you know, assist with the social benefits that are happening at each farm as well. So that's the plan. I'd only employ one person that, you know, was not from a disadvantaged or vulnerable background, and that person would manage the whole process, working in partnership with the charities and the managers that work with the charities as well.
Incredible. And I dare say that person would need to have a certain amount of experience working with disadvantaged people, homeless people, troubled people that you're hoping to employ, right?
I mean, there is a certain need for that, but the key thing to what we do is we only partner with organisations where, you know, if we think there's a high risk person, then there will be a social worker there, or there will be a caseworker there from the organisation. So it's never kind of like the farm manager will be managing these people by himself if we thought they were high risk. And certainly in the early days when we're getting to know these people who work for us, we would always have caseworkers and people around if that's necessary. And we allow the organisations we work with to guide us on that, because we're not the experts in working with these people. Mm. So we rather than employ them directly, we just work with the charities and see what's best on a case-by-case basis.
Ah, gotcha. Brilliant. That's a great way to get around that. Now, something that we all think, I guess, is of straight away is meat and methane implied in wastage and landfill and farming. But there's methane produced in coffee waste as well. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. I mean, any organic waste that goes to the landfill will release an amount of methane, and it's obviously 22.5 times worse than CO2 for the environment. And we know that, yeah, like you say, I think most of us have seen Cowspiracy with the methane that's produced and from the meat industry. So if we can just start to take a dent into that, you know, not so much by boycotting meat, but just by replacing meat, you know, a few times a week with different sources of protein, then it will go a long way to helping reduce that as well. So it's a two-pronged process. Not only are we preventing the coffee going to landfill, but if we can actually get more people eating oyster mushrooms and high-protein mushrooms instead of meat, then we're also preventing that methane that would have been created from the animal meat industry.
Yeah, brilliant. Now, gosh, where do we end this? Okay, I know. I've got a question to ask you, and I think this will really – I really like to ask people on the show who have these incredible businesses, what can the average Joe do? What's one of your favourite things, obviously, while they're waiting for their mushroom kit to arrive in the post? What can they do on a day-to-day basis to be more socially, environmentally aware? What are some of your favorite little light switches to give people to go off on their brains to kind of go, ah, this is bigger than me and I can do more?
I mean, for me, there's so many cool organizations in Sydney and any major city, and we don't really know they exist unless we look for them.
So true.
So if you're interested in sports, for example, all you need to do is Google sports charity or sports social organization in Sydney or in London, wherever you are, and you'll find a heap that are just active under the radar, and you can go down there and they'll welcome you with open arms, and you can go down and play basketball with some people who, you know, in need of help and a bit of support. Or, you know, if you're into food or food production, there's a great thing in Sydney called Pocket City Farms, which is really fantastic.
Yeah, they're fabulous.
Getting people involved with urban agriculture. And I mean, for me, it all started with Google. And the other thing that you can do in Sydney as well, there's so many farmers markets that are sustainably and socially minded that you just meet like-minded people. So I always find that I'm a product of the people I socialize with. So the minute I'm obviously hanging around with a lot of social entrepreneurs, people who are kicking goals in business, and it really rubs off on you and it inspires you because you can see these people are doing it. So if you want to go down to the local farmer's market and get in chatting to these stallholders who maybe have taken the plunge from corporate life, they might just be making homemade chutneys and from sustainable locally grown ingredients, and they're building the business up. And just talking to people like that is really inspiring, I find, and it will help you kickstart your journey into something that, you know, eventually you might be able to turn a passion into a job that could help the environment and the society.
That's beautiful. And so many people that start to think more low tox and start to think buy less, buy better, you know, just waking up your consciousness overall, it's incredible how many people start to shimmy over towards doing work that's more purposeful for people and planet as well. And it's like you say, you've got to be conscious of the people you hang around or you seek to hang around with, because that's one of the big things, isn't it? I absolutely agree. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Philip. That was just such a great chat, and I'm so excited to see your business in just one short, less than a year, have already started to achieve what you've achieved, winning awards, building partnerships with huge airlines and even Heathrow Airport now. It's really quite admirable. So thank you so much for your time.
Thanks very much, Alex. It's a pleasure. Looking forward to speaking to you soon.
Yeah, and I'll pop everything that we talked about in the show notes of interest for anyone who wants to check out any more links. Please do so. lowtoxlife.com/podcast. Bye-bye now. Thank you so much for joining me for today's show. Check out the show notes at lowtoxlife.com/podcast. And if you wanted to maybe share a quote and something that really jumped out for you, you can find us on Instagram at lowtoxlife or simply hashtag lowtoxlife across social media. I absolutely love bringing you the show. Thank you for any of the star ratings or one-line reviews that you guys have left. It helps me know what you've been loving and what you'd love to see more of. I'll see you next week.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.